If what you want is real, Relevant Hunting, you are in the right place. With moderator Josh Miller, owner of Triple Point Outdoors, co-host Kevin Cook, owner of the Outdoor Pro Shop, and Brian Keitlinger, athlete and creator of Left in the Field Outdoors. Welcome to the Reinvent the Hunt podcast.
Well, welcome to episode 8 of the Reinvent the Hunt podcast already. Tonight we have a really awesome episode. I call it the crossbows, vertical bows, and trad bows, old my episode or old crap episode, because it's about ready to go down here at the Reinvent the Hunt podcast. We've got Brian from PA up there and Kevin Cook from down in Maryland. How you guys doing?
Doing good. How about yourself?
Doing really good. I know we've all been having a crazy busy week again with family and just life in general. And I know I saw a news segment before you started tonight about just the insane cost of groceries and meat. And so, man, what better time to get into hunting than right now? I know we got a lot of young kids out there, a lot of families needing good high quality lean protein. And I think you guys probably going to be the same advocates I am. Brian shaking his head, get out there and teach people to hunt.
It's available there for you. You know, we were trusted by God to take care of it. So why not take advantage of it?
Couldn't agree more. Well, it's going to be a fun episode tonight. You know, it's been a long time coming. We've been wanting to have this conversation for a while. And I think the best way to start it is just to talk about the bows we use and what we're going to do this year and why. I know I'm going to be shooting the new Bear Persist. I love the thing. He's got it set up as a vertical bow. That's going to be my bow of choice this year. And I'm guessing that my family and my young kids and my wife, they'll probably end up using the Raven R500 that we have in the shop here to do some turkey and deer hunting that we did last year. I haven't shot a turkey with the R500 yet, but I can't believe it's not going to smoke right through that thing and go to Georgia from Ohio, probably. That bolt will land in Georgia somewhere. It's going to be fun. Kevin, what's your opinion? Like, what are you going to shoot this year? Why?
I stick with the compound bow. I just like the challenge of it. I think it's a real – that's why I'm into hunting. I like the challenge. Obviously, it's a challenge within itself, but when you use – and I honestly want to do a traditional bow this year. I haven't done it yet. I want to get into it. I want to try it. I want to shoot my first deer with a traditional bow. But I just like the challenge. It's the part of the fun. You know, we said it before on previous episodes. Like, we all need to come together and not knock on like what equipment we all use. But it also goes back to the fact we do rag on each other. That's another part that makes it fun. But there's a difference between ragging on each other and completely like threatening somebody because they're using a crossbow. I mean, that's downright ridiculous. And that's not we don't have a place for that in our industry. We're already an industry that's under scrutiny as it is. We don't need that, us arguing amongst each other. It's absolutely uncalled for. But for me personally, I like to stick to it. To a really good challenge. And I'm not saying a crossbow is not a challenge, but there are differences, right? You know, with a compound bow, you know, most of the time you got to stand up, you got to draw back, and you don't have to do any of that with a crossbow. You can put it up to your shoulder, point and shoot. You got to remember your knock points with the compound. I can't really speak on traditional. I haven't done it yet, but maybe after this season I can speak on that.
Yeah, I've been shooting the one I got from Wolfpaw. I thank him for that. It's sweet looking. It's really nice bow, trad bow. And I've been trying to learn with it before I actually take it hunting. I think obviously that's responsible. I'm not going to go out and just wing one of the deer. But with that trad bow, you know, 20 yards and under is going to be me. I don't think I'd feel confident at all past 20 with the trad bow version, just from my skill levels being so low.
Right. Yeah, and I think that's a very good point. Like, we're not going to just pick up something we're not comfortable with and just go try to shoot something. That's not ethical at all.
For sure. What are you shooting, Brian?
I got a new Dart and Sequel 33 coming. Being left-handed, you know, they always get
weirdo.
Yeah, I know. You know, we're talking traditional compound crossbow, you know, atlatls.
Yeah.
A legal weapon in PA. You know, and being left-handed, you know, but I mean, I've always found it's been well worth the wait. The last few years, Dart's just put out some unbelievable bows. For years, I shot Matthews religiously. Then I kind of jumped to Elite for a little bit. And then I really got into Athens. Athens made some great bows. And unfortunate for them, they made a few mistakes and they're out of business now. But yeah, I got the start in SQL 33. And funny enough to say, I actually won a Ballista mini crossbow. Have you seen those Ballista mini crossbows?
Yeah.
And you know, apparently you can hunt with the one I won, you can hunt squirrels, turkey. So I mean, I may this year try to smoke a turkey with one, but I don't know how soon I'll get it. But I don't know. My kids have hunted with crossbows forever. You know, my son killed his first deer with a compound when he was 10. And then as he got older with sports and stuff, he said, "Dad, I need a crossbow because I can never practice." I said, that's fine. My daughter can't pull the weight back. I've taken it out a few times up here in the, you know, northwest corner of PA. Second season, there have been days where I've sat out where it's below zero and trying to pull a bow back when you're cold is just not smart. I've never had an opportunity to kill anything, you know, with it, but I mean, it's a legal means to do it. And, you know, I'm going to do it as a ethical means to do, especially second season, just because I have that availability to me. If I shoot a deer with the stuff, perfect. You know, people are harass me, rag up, fine, whatever. I mean, we've talked about this before. We all have thicker skin than that. We really don't care. So yeah, I'm super pumped about this this bow. I'm one of those 33-inch axe wax. So I find I shoot bows 31, 32, 33-inch axle better. And going back to Kevin's point, what's funny is I've probably shot 95% of my deer out of a tree stand sitting down. And that's, and I practice shooting sitting down all the time. And it just seems like I'm a stander. I stand all the time. And it seems like if I sit down to grab a snack, here they come. So I'm sitting down most of the time. When I shoot the deer I killed this year, I was sitting down. The deer I shot in Ohio that was stolen, I shot sitting down. So yeah, you know, keeping those shots close and keeping that compound traditional. I'm sure I could find a left-handed traditional bow somewhere, but at this point in time with the schedule, I don't have 5 minutes to go and break stuff out. And you know, I don't know. Eventually maybe sometime I will, but I don't know. It's not tops on my priority list at this point in time.
Sure. I can see why. Like, I know with a compound tree stand, to me, it's just a lot more comfortable to use a compound up there. I'm a stander, so I'll get up against a tree and use some sort of, usually a tree to prop my back to be more stable. Mm-hmm. It makes me feel more comfortable and safe when I take that secure for the shot. I've had a crossbow and tree stand, and man, it is cumbersome. It's not comfortable with a crossbow and tree stand. I don't like it.
Yeah.
I'm not, you know, so they're big, they're bulky, they're nothing really rested on. I've done it a couple times, but you know, I'm the type of person that I'll use about anything as long as it's legal and it's ethical to hunt with, depending on the conditions or where I'm at in the world hunting and type of year and game I'm pursuing. And then also what I'm doing. I know, Kevin, you know, we've spoken of testing the broadhead at high speeds. Of course, it's really important. I have to do that. And with a 10-point, you know, the 10-point new 515 feet per second crossbow, that thing's blazing. It's faster than the Raven model I have at 500 feet per second. I think Raven's like 505 or something. So they're right in there. But I think that new 10-point's 515, and it just smokes a broadhead. And if your broadhead doesn't stay together, it's going to be, you know, all over the place and lose accuracy. So, of course, I had to use that quite a bit now. And really, it doesn't matter how fast crossbows get. It's going to hold up to that speed. But if you look at across the board, even like I saw the other day, it's a really cool video on Facebook. Someone hunted a buffalo, American buffalo, with an Atlas. So Brian, you brought that up, and man, they just threw the arrow at it, and it killed it. I think they had two arrows in it by the time they were done. But you know, my big thing is, you know, hunting started human history with persistence hunting. We talked about it, chasing animals down with a spear, chase them till they're tired, they can't run anymore, and stab them to death. And you know, that's a pretty violent way to die. You know, it's nothing nice and super ethical. I mean, I don't call it ethical or not, but it is what it is. They got some meat, and you know, rolling boulders off after mammoths and stuff like that, you hear off cliffs and trying to kill them that way. And so my belief is with changing technology and engineering, you know, things get better, things get faster. That's just the way it's going to be. We have to understand that new technology is going to come around, and I'm going to get old. I know I turned my bow down. I have one bow that's 80 pounds, and I had to take that sucker down to 70 because I can't pull back anymore as easy. It's hard. You know, it's getting to the point where I know someday
when it's cold.
It's yeah, exactly. It was cold. I probably hurt my popped my shoulder out of joint. But I know as I get older, you know, my dad's now all crossbow. He had to make the switch a few years ago, and I won't get into that too far and razz him up. But you know, he decided it was too much to draw back for a compound bow at 60 pounds. And heck, he still wants to go out and hunt with me and hunt himself. And he you know, ends up using a, he's a bear constrictor now and loves it. So I just think that there's so much pressure that the online forums specifically and internet create with people. I don't think they'd say it to your face. You guys think people, I think people, keyboard warriors, you're going to throw it online, but to your face, I don't think they'd say a single thing.
Yeah.
They won't say.
And, you know, going back to your point about the early people, you know, it was the Clovis people that, you know, created the
Yes,
first
sir.
like broadheads and things and stuff like that. But, you know, like I said, I mean, I shot 70 pounds for years. I mean, even 3D shoots and stuff like that. Used to shoot a ton of 3D shoots, 70 pounds, 70 pounds, 70 pounds. The bows have gotten so, you know, technologically advanced to the point now. I don't know how much further they can go with compound bows. If you look the last few years, a lot of it's just been aesthetics, you know, dampening this, that, and everything else. But my 60-pound bow was just as efficient as, you know, my 70-pound bow. And it wasn't that I couldn't shoot 70 pounds. I was just like, I can build my arrows, you know, to that bow to be just as efficient. You know, white-tailed deer, you don't need a ton of kinetic energy to blow through a white-tailed deer. I'm not hunting elk, I'm not hunting Cape buffalo, you know, stuff like that. And even all of the hogs I've killed with a bow, you know, 300 pounds ho hogs and stuff like that. 62-pound bow, you know, a 60-pound bow max out of 62 pounds with a great broadhead. You're blowing through that anyhow. And again, we've talked before, shot placement, shot placement, shot
For
placement.
sure.
If
Absolutely.
you struggle at 70 pounds, you're not going to make a good shot. You get
Right.
confident 60 because you can hold well and hold a little longer. Dude, you're going to execute that shot great. And
Long
you know,
term improvement.
it's a win-win for you and our job to make an ethical shot and kill that game ethically and quickly. And you know, eventually, if I have to bump down to 50 pounds, you know, I will. I think in our state, 40 pounds is the minimum.
Okay. 40 pounds.
Is the minimum. So,
Yeah.
you know,
I think ours might be 45. I can't remember what Ohio's is. 45, maybe somewhere in there. You know, I know we had a female archer get her first full pass through the Clovis and the whitetail a couple years ago. And, you know, she was really happy with that, with the minimum kinetic energy it takes to open. But, you know, I think looking across the board, like you said, Brian, all vertical bows, you know, technology has reached a point where they can't really push them too much faster, you know. And now you have the aesthetics changing. But they're also well built. Like I've shot so many different brands here recently. Like Prime's great, of course, Bear's great. You know, I had Bowtech for a long time. Like you said, I shot Matthews. My original bow is Matthews Creed XS. I love that short axle bow. And I just think they're so well engineered in today's world, and they're so parallel. You can't really go wrong with any of the great brands out there. You know,
No,
Kevin.
and I, you, oh, go ahead,
I'm sorry.
Kevin.
I was going to hear what Kevin shot. He didn't really talk about the brand you shot, what bow you're shooting.
Oh, I shoot a Matthews right now. I've shot
Matthews.
it. It's been so many years. I just keep getting the
Poster
screen for
boy.
the
Yeah.
cancer.
Are they paying you to shoot
Here we go. Yeah, I wish.
Poster
But
boy.
yeah, I wish. That's a big thing in our hunting camp too, is like half of us shoot Hoyt, half of us shoot Matthews, and it's a competition every year. I mean, before hunting season even begins. Like I know if my buddies are going to watch this, they're going to be laughing because it's
That's
all out
great.
every year. It'll be like
Well,
London, Norton, Hoyt, or and it'll just all year long, doesn't
Well,
stop.
I know I never hear the end of the Whisker Biscuit. I'll never probably, I probably will never change the Whisker Biscuit rest. I don't hear the end of it. They're like, Josh, you got to change your drop way. I'm like, but I can't rotate it everywhere and then I'm flopping around. I love that Whisker Biscuit. It's just the way
Yeah,
to
I mean,
go.
you know, you know, it's funny, Kevin, that you guys can, you know, do that and have a good time, you know, fanboy, poster boy, you know, those things like that. But I mean, seriously, in all honesty, most of the bows, I got buddies who own shops and stuff like that. I go and shoot all the bows anyhow when they come out every year, just so if people ask, you know, what I think, you know, I can say, well, I really like this, or I really like that, or you know, just to see and to shoot. But I mean, you blindfold people and put a bow in their hand and don't have any, you know, like decals or anything on them, who would really know?
There's
I
not
mean,
that many. Right.
no.
Yeah.
I
It could be
mean,
a challenge for sure.
yeah,
Right.
you know, I
Not
think
that
one of
many.
the one of the biggest areas where they're, you know, just going to keep striving to improve is the efficiency of the cams. You know, that smooth draw, plenty of speed, and you know, just that comfortability of getting that draw cycle down. You know, so it's not, you know, I always, you know, it's not like the hoists. I feel like the first bit you're pulling your shoulder out, and then you get it and it's nice and it's got a really solid back wall. You know, I don't like that. I like a nice solid, smooth, you know, smooth the whole way through until it just gets right in and fits right in.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
That's
with
me. A lot of people I know that shoot hoists, they love that beginning, getting into it, you know, real aggressive, getting into it. So yeah, I mean, it's a feel,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Grip. Grip's a big part of that too. You know, I used to love, you know, shooting Matthews bows. The more I, you know, fiddled around with, you know, torqueless grips and this and that and everything else. One of the things I really loved about the Darton bows is there's really no grip. There's just, you're on the riser. And it for me, it feels great. It's nice and thin. It fits right in your hand where you need it to go. And, you know, I really, really like that.
Okay.
I mean, that was the first thing I'd always do with my Matthews bows is get rid of the grip and go to a torqueless or something else that I just felt, you know, it made me feel a lot better and it would make the bow balance a lot better for me.
Yeah, I would agree with Brian on those two things you said, Brian, specifically the grip and the draw cycle for me. I think, you know, like you said, a bow and a hand, they're all real close kind of to each other, you know, pretty much carbon fiber versus aluminum. But the draw cycle makes a difference to me. I know the Bear Persistent shooting now, it's got a really hard acceleration. Like that bow, when you hit it, it wants to hit. It wants to go.
Yeah.
There's no like slow increase acceleration. It just launches. So I really like that about it. I've had other bows that want to jerk out of your hand and kind of launch before you want to let go and that sort of thing. And then I will differ with you on this, respectfully. I like a thicker grip because for some reason, I like the Matthews old wood grips because they're so thick. I like when it sits in the palm of my hand. And I feel like the bow can't, the center grip, when I have it on there and it's not thin, it can't torque as much side to side. That's just me. It sits a little bit better in my hand.
Yeah. And again, that's, you know, everyone has a different feel, you know, and that's why they have high and low and, you know, middle wrist, however you do it. And, you know, we've all learned to shoot different ways and, you know, and go from there. So yeah, it's just, you know, it's, you know, get out, shoot as many bows as you can.
Heck yeah. It makes us fun too, right? Shoot people
with
different bows. Even if it's not exactly your size, you know, people are like, oh, I have to have this exact draw length. I'm like, just shoot it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I mean, maybe it's not your hunting bow you're shooting every day, but give it a shot, see how it feels. And you know, it's great to be able to do that back and forth. And also, like we said, it builds camaraderie. And I think the big difference I've seen in vertical bows versus crossbows, man, there is a difference in the crossbow world when it comes to the top high-end crossbows and a general crossbow. There is a massive difference in crossbows compared to vertical bows. Because in the high-end crossbows, like with the 10-point and Raven now, you've got the roller bearing technology out front that guides the bolt, that holds it up off the rail, so there's no contact, so it increases accuracy. You've got the new double rail, like a dual rail system, and the 10-point to keep it stationary and eliminate vibration. And then you've got like these super high-end scopes on these things now. And it's, you know, like I said, the difference between a really high-end crossbow and a regular moderate or low-end crossbow is way vast compared to the vertical bows. Vertical bows are real parallel to me, but in the crossbow world, to me, it's very different.
Yeah. Now, I mean, Excalibur just came out with that. I call it like the over and under.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can have two bolts at once,
two,
which is kind of neat because, you know, in Pennsylvania, ours says you're allowed to have one projectile. So I don't know how that would, you know, I don't know how that would work out.
New law coming soon.
Yeah,
just tape them together. Just tape them around. Duct tape them together.
Yeah. But I mean, I've watched videos of guys hunting with them and stuff like that. And I'm like, man, that's friggin' cool.
Yeah.
And you know, and it's always that wow factor. I mean, we as hunters, we should always be like, wow, that's pretty cool. But I mean, you know, as well as I do, a lot of people are the first thing like, oh, that's just not fair. That's not right. That's not legal.
Throw the flag. Throw the flag.
But it's still cool.
It's still freaking cool.
I mean,
That brings me back to like the crossbow argument. Like everybody's like, oh, that's cheating. That's not fair. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, if you want to get down to it, like compound bows are cheating as well. Like that's
they
not
are.
What they used to hunt way back. That's not how that we started hunting that. They're cheating. Like everything we
Yep.
use right now is cheating. Like
Well,
you
think
don't
about
want
it
to get
too.
down to it, you know?
It has to take like, crossbow is fairly simple and it's workings, right? Mechanisms in it. I mean, it,
Right.
they're complex, but like it's got to take more engineering to engineer a new vertical bow riser. And all the vibrations analysis you have to do, like it's got to be equal as far as engineering in both of them. And so, like you said, Kevin, like just respect everybody, have a good time out there, eat your freaking steak and your deer, have a good time, and like
Right.
razz each other, but do it respectfully. That's what builds a
Yeah.
community instead of tearing it down.
Yeah. It we I mean I love that's the main thing I love about hunting is like I said, half us Hoyt, half us Matthews, and we'll
Yeah.
razz each other all year long.
That's
And
what
that's
makes
the
it
greatest
fun.
part about it. Yeah, it's what makes it fun.
Absolutely. And
And
there's
the stories to
nothing.
tell.
Yeah, absolutely. The story's good. There's nothing like listening to a bolt come out like it sound like a Scud missile coming out of that Raven at 500 feet per second. It's just like it's a little something special. Like I have to say, it's you hear that thing go up there going, and it just smacks, and it's kind of fun. I admit it's kind of fun.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And
So as far
I mean it's great. Like you said, being a history teacher and doing a lot of stuff, we do a lot of talk about wars and battles and this and that. And unfortunately, the longbow was the weapon of choice for a lot of armies because, when it rained, you can take the string off a longbow and keep it dry. Where if you're fighting with crossbows, you're done. You're done. Your crossbows get wet, they're inefficient and everything else. And that has been the telltale sign for some very important battles historically. I
Interesting.
look over in Europe and stuff like that, and why they stay with the longbows and stuff for so long. So there's always those fun things to look at as well.
Absolutely. I know the first bow
Right.
I ever shot deer hunting was a Barnett. I don't know what model it was, but man, I had one bolt. First time I ever went deer hunting in the world as a, I think I was 14, high school or 13. I don't remember how old I was, but my dad had this rickety Barnett old crossbow sitting around, and we're on the farm. And I'm like, hey, I want to try this deer hunting thing. And took one bolt out, missed the biggest buck of my life I've ever seen. And the bolt had no power, didn't know what yards was, didn't mark off anything. I had no idea, no tree stand sitting on a rock, And but the greatest thing is, I always had that memory because that's what lit the fire. And so I think, without my kids or kids in the future, we got to remember as an industry, we're competing against iPads now. And it's hard, it's tough, guys. Yeah, we all know that we're competing against digital technology that we're on right now talking to everybody. And so I think you can't make a perfect situation, but you can do the best you can to get kids and people out there interested in the sport. Maybe you're not
Right.
hardcore into it, but you at least get out of here and do some hunting.
Yeah, I think crossbows are a great way to get kids introduced, especially because archery season is so much longer than firearm season all around the country.
For
And
sure.
it's a great way to get kids involved. And then when you get older, it's a great way for the older generation to stay involved. You know what I mean? So it's I don't know, it's it doesn't matter to me at all. Like use what you want to use. And it's funny that we have this conversation about bows, but we don't have this conversation about guns. Like
No,
you got
that's
some
true.
guys with these rifles that'll reach out and touch a different state with a
Yeah,
$4,000 scope on it. But
yeah,
we
that's
don't
true. Yeah,
like the industry doesn't make fun of that guy. You know what I mean? Like it's only
yep,
bows that
exactly.
happens with. Like it doesn't
Yeah,
matter when it comes to guns, but
that's true. That's very
which
true.
is shocking. Yeah, I just
Yeah. It's yeah, it's
why?
almost like the more technology of rifles, the better
Yeah,
people
right.
like it.
Yeah.
The more technology, the better in that.
Yeah, that's not
Yep.
cheating though. You know what I mean?
No.
But a
Yeah. And
crossbow is cheating.
I'll take my inline, and put money down that my inline might be one of my best shooting guns that I have, of all my rifles and everything else. And it's dead on accurate out to 200 yards. And, I'm slinging a, 380 some, green piece of lead. And when it hits, you just hear this whack,
Whacked.
where, shooting a 308 or my 25-06 or, or my 243, anything like that, you're shooting a 100 grain bullet, 95 grain bullet, But I mean, my CVA inline will just crush things. And I mean, living in PA, a lot of places we hunt, very rarely do you ever have a shot over 200 yards. I mean, legit. I mean,
Yeah.
you just don't. So a lot of times I just take it out because I know I can aim front shoulder dead on and boom, and it's just dropping down. They just
Absolutely.
not running anywhere. But that, Kevin, that's a great point, and that's a great argument. Yeah, you shoot a 338 Lapua. Well, I've killed more deer with a 243.
That ain't you don't hear it. You don't hear it. But when it comes to crossbows and compound bows, man, it's just that just triggers people, and I just don't get it.
It does. It does. It really does. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's like even, you know, like, well, like my wife's buck, you know, you shoot it with that crossbow, and, you know, if you shoot it with a vertical bow, there's some sort of bigger stature taking a buck like that. You know, it just, it's like, it is what it is. It happened. We were hunting. She asked the weapon she had, you know, and you take the deer. And it was a pretty cool event. And, you know, like we talked about before, I think the biggest rush I have is vertical bow at, like, you know, a deer 20 yards. That's the most fun in the world to me. You know, having a big old buck 20 yards with vertical bow, your skills, your senses and skills against his, that's the biggest rush I have in the world. But I'm sure the trad guys could probably up me on that, because I'm sure they have even better stories, you know, with trad bows.
Yeah.
Even closer yards.
Exactly. Yep.
And listen, you go to the, like, the big IBO shoots, you know, the first, like, second, like, third, they have a trad division. Yeah, I love sitting and watching those guys instinctively shoot. And it's amazing to watch them, first of all, judge yardage and then friggin' sling it into the 11. And you're sitting there going, all right, I'm using a compound and I got a lens and a clarifier. And, you know, and they're just bloop, right in. Bloop,
that's bloop. Incredible.
And, I mean, yeah. I love, you know, everyone's got unique, you know, skill set or whatever. I mean, you put a freaking bamboo stick with dental floss and a little rest on it and give it to Levi Morgan, he's still going to whack stuff, you know, all day. Just, you know, it's almost like God just put him on earth here. Just, I just want you to shoot a bow. That's all I want you. That's right. All I want you to do. And he's, him and these guys are phenomenal to watch and even, you know, shoot with this way. They're, they're great. So let's turn it up a little bit. And Kevin, what's the furthest shot you've taken and been successful with your compound, and get into some of that a little bit, because, you know, distance seems to become a thing. And we talked about it with your a little bit on your wife's podcast. So what you got, Kevin?
About 40 yards is my furthest successful.
You say 40?
And like anything beyond that, it's like, I'm always hunting the woods. Like, I'm never on a field edge. I don't have any field edges to hunt unless there's somewhere public I'm going that might have a field edge. But I'm always in the woods. Like, anything beyond 40 is just is pushing it with a compound through the woods, especially you know, the thicker areas we hunt. It's just, it's not feasible sometimes, most of the time.
Yeah,
yeah, so
I agree.
I can't say I'd be comfortable shooting over that through the woods.
Yeah, for 40, 40 is mine too. I mean, I don't think I've taken a whitetail past 40 personally. I've thought about it. I think I shot at one at 50 and missed it. But I'm the same way. Like, I get, you know, 30 yards for me is that bad string jump zone, you know, 20 and under, you're smoking it usually. But if a deer is alert and it's quiet and they're looking at me at 30, I'm just like, I don't really love that shot, you know, but I really try to take it given the circumstances. But that's another thing people don't talk about, is not just your range, but what's going on environmentally. What's the wind doing? What's happening? Is it raining? Is it not? Like, you know, all kinds of things go on that are thousands of variables.
Is head up or down? Like, it's so many different variables that play into that.
Yeah. Well, I watched Paul Romano shoot that big moose this past September, and I was right beside him videoing when he shot at 50 yards from the shoulder of the Clovis, and that was out of the prime bow, and it was an unbelievable shot. Like, he didn't have a lot of time to react. We got set up. I arranged it for him, and it was just really cool to see that arrow travel. I could see out of my peripheral. And going through the shoulder of that moose, but it was a big animal. I mean, it's like hitting a barn, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, years ago, I mean, I caught a lot of flack from a few of my buddies and stuff like that. I went over to Ohio and did a doe hunt at my buddy's place, and I killed two does, both at about 52 yards in the same food plot. And what was unique, when we got out, the arrows were basically 6 inches from each other in the ground.
Wow.
And they died almost touching. Now, I shot the one about 30 minutes later, the next one came in. Again, nice and relaxed in a food plot, you know, nothing else around. And I used to shoot a ton, you know, 50, 60, 70, 80, 900 yards. And I, you know, felt very comfortable. The one instance I did shoot a buck at 47 yards in the woods. But again, I knew it was wide. It was open woods. And again, I shot all of these deer sitting down, and you know, I had that confidence. And, you know, I even was like, you know, never doubt my mind. I can make that shot all day. Dial the HHA into 47, hold on a thing and just let it go. And, you know, it's almost like it's in slow. You can see that almost like it's in slow motion. You watch it disappear and you hear him crash. You're just like, you know, never a doubt. But then again, dude, I've missed deer at 15 yards.
Yeah, no,
15 yards.
Stuff happens. You
know, lack of concentration. You know, all that other stuff. So,
yeah.
You know, you drop out of the shot. I mean, it's one of those you know, goofy things.
It's a big thing. Yeah, that's another thing. Yeah, dropping out of the shot is huge. Like you dropping out too early. It's like you got to hold that. You got to hold it after your shot.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, I try to tell my mind to watch the arrow through the pin to contact, you know?
Right. Yeah.
But on that, I shot that big Watusi and I absolutely hit way too far back on that thing. Luckily, it double lunged the back end of the lungs and didn't go far. But
right, you try to lift up your head and look. And
I did. I went to look. Yeah. Right, and I knew right as soon as I hit it's like one of those like basketball shots. You know it's going to be on or off before you shoot. And I knew I trigger punched it and pulled and, luckily, it worked out okay, but that's one of those things where you have to really focus on watching that arrow because sometimes things happen, like you said, Brian, at 15, 20 yards, you never know. You never know with conditions and such.
Yeah. Well, you mean we've all done it, and if you say you haven't, you haven't been hunting enough then.
Right, so. Yeah, absolutely. Yep, we all screw up and make errors, but we come around, and it's great that on here we can talk about those things and learn from each other and, you know, just kind of bring people together. Like I said, this episode is going to be dedicated to try to get people on board with, hey, you know, you shoot whatever you want to shoot, enjoy the hunt more than anything, and get kids into it, keep the older people into it. You know, we're all going to be there someday, and it's great to see this camaraderie come together and just hopefully form that bridge and, you know, celebrate it more than anything.
Yep.
All right.
Yep. Kevin, lighted knock, yes or no?
Absolutely.
Josh?
Yes, sir. Halo knocks. Love them.
Yep. Yep. So, yeah, like I said, I sent you that video of shooting during totality.
That was cool.
And I told my wife, I said, hey, you're gonna videotape this whenever you get totality.
She's like,
I ended up videotaping it myself, putting it on a tripod and everything. But I mean, you know, that 60 yard shot, cold. I mean, it was in there. So I mean, you know, you gotta love that. But yeah.
That's super
lighted
cool.
Knocks.
I use lighted knocks all the time. It doesn't matter if it's like daytime now.
Oh,
like
fun.
It's so easy. It's easier to find your arrow. We're going back to the cheating part here.
Yeah,
it's easier to find your arrow after the shot, so you can you know figure everything out.
Yeah,
what kind of blood's on the arrow? Everything.
Absolutely.
I've shot 3D shoots with lighted knocks, and people are like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "This is going to be shooting for fall. It's August. I'm getting ready for hunting."
Yeah,
you know, they're like, you're nuts. What if someone hits it? Like, well, then they hit it. I said, it's a good spot to aim at. Go for it.
All right.
You know, so they're durable. Sure. They'll take a beating.
Yeah, they're great. Well, we had a great episode. I want to thank everybody for coming on here, you guys, tonight to talk about this. Next week, we have a good one. We're going to have a Warbucks Deer Grover Company on here to talk about technology and deer hunting. That's going to be a really good one to talk about more controversy. That'll be also good to learn and interesting how they do that process as well. So if you can, like, share, give us a review. It's really helping us. It's the Reinvent the Hunt podcast. It'll be out this weekend for you. And I want to thank you guys for being here tonight, Kevin and Brian. As always, it's been a great time.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Josh.
Take care.